Let's pray. O Lord, may the meditations in all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It certainly seems reasonable to think that if a particular group of people saw water turn to blood, frogs cover the land, bugs swarm people, livestock inexplicably drop dead, boils appearing on the skin, hail from the sky, locusts devouring vegetation, darkness for 3 straight days, and finally the death of every firstborn child, then these people would believe that something divine was going on. 10, count them, 10 plagues fall upon Egypt before the Israelites are finally set free. It would also be reasonable to think that if a particular group of people saw an entire sea split in two, only to come crashing down a pursuing enemy, these people would believe that Yahweh was on their side. He is a faithful God who sticks to his word and his promises. When the Israelites finally are brought up out of Egypt, Moses' track record as a prophet is a whopping 10 for 10. He had a 100% success rate. When Moses spoke, things happened. When he uttered a prophecy, the prophecy was fulfilled. It came to pass. A necessary requirement if you want to be a prophet of God, the success rate must be 100%. Given everything the Israelites saw through this man Moses, the work that God did through him, one would think that they would have followed him at all costs. They saw miracles. They saw prophetic fulfillment. They had been led out of Egypt. What more do you want? What more do you need in order to know that your God is with you? And he is for you. And he sticks to his word and his promises, including his promise to bring you into the promised land, flowing with milk and with honey. It's not even 2 months since departing Egypt that the Israelites begin to complain. They begin to murmur against the higher-ups, Moses and Aaron. In verse 2, the very first verse of the Old Testament reading, friends, this is what we find. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Ever done something nice for somebody? Gone out of your way to do an act of mercy and kindness only to have them spit in your face and turn their backs on you? God is no stranger to that type of behavior. Friends, here we see God's chosen people, God's holy people, actually make the statement. They would rather die in Egypt than in the desert, because at least there their bellies were full, or so they claim. Highly unlikely. Thankfully, our Lord and our God is slow to anger, and he is abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with the people the way we probably would if we were in such a position. He doesn't say to the Israelites, "Fine, you want Egypt? Go back to Egypt." Instead, our compassionate God gives them what they want. He gives them meat. He gives them bread. And when the Israelites look at the bread, they ask Moses, "What is it?" And Moses replies, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The evolutionist likes to say that man is getting better. Man is evolving. We're on the up and up. However, in Scripture, unfortunately, there is no evidence to support such a theory. When Jesus comes on the scene early 1st century AD, the Jews are still having a hard time. believing in the one true God despite the many miracles. Today's gospel reading in John takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000, which we heard about a couple weeks ago from Mark's gospel. Now, the crowd that is before Jesus this day, many of them were there when Jesus fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's why Jesus says this in verse 26. He says, "You are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." In verse 35, Jesus gets right to the point. "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Here again is bread for the Jews. Here again is bread from heaven. Only this time, this is not the bread that you eat and digest. This is not the bread that molds and decays if it is left outside. This bread does not perish. This bread lasts forever. This bread gives you abundant life. This bread is God in the flesh, your Savior, Jesus. Here before the people, Jesus stands, calling them to believe in him and feast upon the imperishable bread of life. You ate your bread. You ate your fill of the loaves. That's great. But here is bread that never perishes. This is bread that will sustain you forever. This bread is the bread of life. The great I Am, the incarnate God, the sent one, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Friends, he is the bread of life, our Savior that we feast upon by faith in him. How do the Jews respond to all of this? Remember in Exodus, the Old Testament reading, verse 2 starts out saying that they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. That word's not insignificant. The response of the Jews in today's gospel reading is actually verse 41, which takes place after the selected reading for today. And we'll look at that verse again in the upcoming weeks. But verse 41 in John chapter 6 says this, quote, "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Notice a pattern here. Old Testament, grumbling against God. New Testament, grumbling against God. Old Testament, turning to something else. New Testament, turning to something else. In the Old Testament, the Israelites actually thought Egypt was a better option than going through the desert into the promised land. In Jesus' day, the law of Moses is to be central to the life of the Jew, not faith in this Jesus of Nazareth. The pattern continues, friends. The sin that afflicted the Israelite also afflicts the Gentile. We are not exempt. The Israelites under Moses, they thought Egypt was the better option. The Jews in Jesus' day, weren't all that interested in hearing that he is the bread who gives life. To them, they sought life under the law of Moses. And as we know, brothers and sisters, the law of God shows us our sin. It does not give life, but it condemns and convicts. Do you have a better option? Have you ever said to yourself, "This Christianity thing is hard. Perhaps the grass is greener on the other side of the fence." Have you ever said to yourself, "I want a religion that makes me feel comfortable. I want a religion where I can get everything I want. I want a religion that makes me feel comfortable, unlike this Lutheran pastor who always talks about sin and death and condemnation. Yuck!" Brothers and sisters in Christ, I know battling sin and temptation is not easy. And it takes its toll on the body, physically, as well as spiritually. Rather than trying to live out the Christian life, you could just accept your sin and not give it a second thought. That certainly is an easier option. then wrestling with the temptation, working to overcome a vice through repentance, seeking forgiveness in Christ. It's easy just to be content, accept it, not give it a second thought. I know I'm stubborn and never listen to my spouse, but what does it matter? Change is hard. Been married a long time. Why bother? We all know I'm too old to change anyways. I know I get angry and I have a short fuse. People tell me that all the time. I know I'm impatient, but what does it really matter? It's easier just to stay how I am, rather than seeking God's help to change for the sake of my loved one. Being content in sin, ignoring it, not taking it seriously, not bothering with it, certainly does seem, friends, to be an easier option than abiding by the living, active Word of God. God's law, that portion of the Word that tells us what we have to do, it is a hard thing, isn't it, Christian? It's hard. God's law clearly lays out His demands and consequently shows us when we do not meet those demands, which is a daily occurrence. God's law shows all of us when we are being stubborn. God's law convicts all of us when we're getting angry over the wrong things. God's law is very clear when it talks about having patience and we are being impatient. God's law convicts you when you have that sexually immoral thought racing through your mind. God's law crushes you when it reveals to you you haven't bothered to keep His Ten Commandments. To be frank, Christian, God's law can drive a person to despair. It can be a burden that we cannot lift on our own. Living in sin, apart from God's refuge, apart from His salvation, may seem like a convenient, easy escape from the condemning, convicting law of our Lord and our God. It seems like an easier option, doesn't it? But doing so, Christian, is being like the Israelite who wants to go live in Egypt. You would rather live in bondage leading to death rather than freedom leading to eternal life. Despite your sins, despite a world where there are unexpected shootings, killings, suffering, great sorrow, unexpected death, natural disasters of all stripes, there is still one who gives life to the world. There is a food, Christian, that you can feast on, and it will never go away, and it will sustain you into eternity. The bread I am talking about is not from this world. The bread I am talking about is from heaven. Jesus Christ is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Your record of sins is great. My record of sins is great. But friends, the bread of life, the one who gives life even to ones dead in their transgressions, is our Savior Jesus. And He has given life to the world by dying. That's right. Through crucifixion, death, and bloodshed, sins are atoned for to give you life. Through the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, your sins have been paid for in full. That means by faith in Him, you are forgiven. That means your sins cannot condemn you when they have been paid for by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You are not dead to sin, but alive for the sake of the bread of life, your food, your Savior by faith. That's right, this bread that I'm talking about, your Savior is not your Savior on account of your work, not on account of your spotless track record. God, look at all that I have done. Give me this bread. I've earned it. Not how it works, friends. All have sinned and fall short the glory of God. It is for the sake of His compassion, His grace, His mercy, by faith, your Savior, Jesus Christ, is your Savior. And all the promises of God fulfilled in Christ are yours by faith, Christian. Faith reaches out and grabs hold of Christ, and therefore all of his possessions, all heavenly treasures, become yours. And by living in Christ, feasting upon him by faith, the bread of life, you are no longer dead in your sins, but you are alive to God. Fantastic news. What this means, Christian, is that the next time God's law is convicting you, the next time you are feeling burdened by your sins, and the law is showing you your sins, even the devil is throwing your sins in your face, you can know with confidence you have a Savior who died to pay for all of your sins and to give you life. When you are feeling depleted, low on energy, running out of steam, Christian, you have a food that will sustain you into eternity. Christ has already secured for you a salvation that will not perish. You have stored up for you by your Savior heavenly treasures that will never go away. So, to conclude, the next time you're feeling a little Israelite-ish and looking for other options beside your Savior, the response is very simple. Repent, confess, receive forgiveness, and know all what you have by being God's forgiven child in Christ. The fact of the matter is, friends, we do not need other options because we already have all the possessions that the world cannot give and the devil cannot take away. You have the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation for eternity, and it is yours for the sake of the bread of life. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.